Thank you, Elizabeth.
Right, well, good morning, everybody. And it's lovely to be with you and to share with you on the last part of our series on Jonah. And Trevor will put up the first slide, please. And we'll see about the story so far that we have travelled with in Jonah. And so originally, can we go back one? There we go, lovely, thank you. Originally at the beginning of October, Darren shared with us the overview of the story. And then Lynn shared with us chapter one, running away from God. And I just think it was very interesting the way she pointed out that revelation comes first and then obedience. And sometimes we have to wait a while for the understanding. And also that our lives preach Jesus through the storms. And then Jane shared with us about in the belly of the big fish and talked about how we might respond when God gives us an assignment. And then last week, Sue gave us the historical background and significance of Nineveh and talked about repentance and redemption. And so on to today, and Jonah chapter 4 is responding to mercy, and the Lord is gracious and compassionate is really the key point. But in chapter 3, Jonah delivered a message of wrath against Nineveh, but he hadn't assisted or encouraged them in their repentance. And we saw the demonstration of God's mercy. But here in chapter 4, by contrast, we see Jonah's extraordinary response. And Matthew's now going to read chapter 4 for us. And if we could please have the next slide, then it will sort of give you the overview as Matthew reads. Thank you.
But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made a shelter and sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah and gave shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind and the sun blazed on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But God said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?"
Thank you. So Jonah gets very angry. He's annoyed and his emotions are running very high. And of course, he was quick to get angry, whereas God is very slow dream. But why was Jonah so uneasy that the Ninevites had repented? Was he jealous for the honour of his country? The repentance of the Ninevites shamed the obstinacy of Israel, who had not repented or reformed. God had showed favour to the Gentiles on their repentance, and I think this might have irked Jonah somewhat. But what a strange sort of man he was. He dreaded the success of his ministry. Jonah had declined preaching because he was afraid of the good that it would do. But now he was really in quite a state. But in verse 2, he prayed, or more or less chatted to God. And it's a bit of an awkward prayer, not like the submissive prayer he played in the fish's belly. Here he's complaining about the benefit others had by God's mercy. And verse 3, if Nineveh must live, let me die. What a poor man he was. And so Jonah goes out of the city and sits alone and waits to see what will become of the city. And this reminded me back in Genesis chapter 19, where Abraham went to see what would become of Sodom. And there God would have saved Sodom just for 10 people. And yet here he shows his mercy and compassion on over 120,000. Yes, Jonah sat and waited. He still hoped to see the destruction. But then, of course, he builds a shelter to aid his refreshment. And he builds it, and it proved inadequate. And God was there, and he provided an extra shelter. God had before prepared a great fish to secure Jonah from the injuries of the water, and here a great plant to secure Jonah from the injuries of the air. It shows that God has command of plants as well as animals and can soon prepare them to make them serve his purposes. So Jonah was very happy with the plant, and he was given that window of refreshment and shelter. And, you know, sometimes we need to take note that sometimes God gives us a window of opportunity that isn't necessarily going to last that long. And Jonah, obviously, he probably had a reasonably good night's sleep. We're not told that. But in the morning, the worm was instrumental in taking away the comfort of the plant. It died. And then God provided the east wind, not to fan or abate the heat, but not as a fan to abate the heat, but as bellows to make the heat more intense. And so the anguish that had been Jonah's before the plant now was exacerbated and increased. And so in verse 8, the plant is dead, and Jonah just says, let me die with it. What a foolish man he was that thinks his life was bound up in the life of a plant. And if we look at the next slide now and think about how sometimes our shelters can prove inadequate, and we do need God's provision. And sometimes, you know, what we become over fond of when we have, we over grieve of when we lose something that we have. And at this time particularly, we might be deprived of our relationships, our possessions, our enjoyments, but bear it patiently and don't be angry at God. The losses that we see have at the moment are comparatively small, and there's more than enough in God to make up for our losses. So the gourd that was a great comfort to him, to Jonah, disappeared. And so if we move on to the next slide and see that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, and we just see the way his compassion was poured out upon Nineveh and the Gentile people. And these verses here highlight in Chronicles and Psalms and Joel, as well as Jonah, the fact that God is gracious and compassionate, and he's slow to anger and abounding in love. And then, of course, as we know, God has the first word in the whole book of Jonah, and he says to Jonah, get up and go. And then in verse 11 of chapter 4, we see God having the last word, and he gives that question to Jonah. And so what are we going to take away from this series on Jonah? So if we could please go to the next slide. And I think the first thing I'm going to take away is that when God speaks, it's best to obey. Psalm 139 verse 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And we've seen how Jonah ended up in deep water when he ran away from God. And I think many of us perhaps can look back on experiences in our own lives when God has spoken, and we might have been a little bit hesitant to obey. So it's always best to obey when God speaks. Secondly, God's ways are not our ways. And Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And so often we tend to impose our ways and thoughts on things we want to do. And we need to realize that God's ways are bigger than we can ever imagine. And then thirdly, God's compassion desires repentance, not judgment. And Ezekiel 33:11 that Sue mentioned last week, it says to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they may turn from their ways and live. And God so clearly demonstrated that in his compassion on Nineveh. And I just love the fact that Jonah that the Ninevites repented almost without being told how. They just knew that they were wrong and they just wanted to get right with God. And then thirdly, God has no favorites. And in the story of Peter and Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, when God pours out his blessing and Holy Spirit upon a Gentile, Peter says in verse 34 to 35, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. And then God provides and supplies for all our needs. And that wonderful verse in Philippians 4, verse 19, God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. So that's really what I take away from the book of Jonah. But then I'd just like to share something that the Archbishops of Canterbury and York have sent a letter to the nation this week. And in it, and it's well worth a read, and there's the link there. But in it, he talks about Jesus calming the storm in the Gospels. And the three points they make is be calm, courageous, and compassionate, all things that Jonah wasn't. But we need to be these things in these challenging times. So be calm, don't panic buy, reach out and hope our neighbours. Be courageous to face what lies ahead and be compassionate, be gentle, be kind, and be patient. And one last thought on the next slide, please. We so easily spend our time and energy on trivial things over which we have no control, while God sees the big picture. Therefore, ought we not to trust him? Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the many, many lessons that we can learn from the story of Jonah. And Father, this morning we just ask that you will just highlight to each one of us a point that you just want to speak to us about today. And Father, help us to be obedient and in these times of great difficulty and hardship and the storm, Lord, we just pray that each one of us will know that it is well with our soul and that each one of us will be able to be calm and courageous and compassionate. Lord, help us to do that now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And then on the next slide, there are quite a few questions if people would like them for their cell. And also, this is the letter that the archbishops have sent to the nation. So thank you for listening and God bless you all.
Thank you, Elizabeth.